Blog Talk Radio.
Ryan Jay is a 2022 Democratic nominee for Michigan's Congressional 9th District. And our special guest tonight, we'll ask him his plans and hopes for Michigan's 9th Congressional District. Mr. J is front and center stage speaking out against GOP's dangerous rhetoric on numerous issues. His Republican opponent, Congresswoman Lisa McClain, is out of her depth on what matters most to Congressional District 9 and has refused to have any type of public debate on issues that affect the constituency. She's a rubber stamp for Trumpism. On numerous occasions, the GOP has tried, unsuccessfully, to hurt donations to his campaign by calling him an extreme leftist. They also call him a rhino, which means Republican in name only. These two things are contradictory and polar opposites in meaning. He's the calm that Congressional District 9 in Michigan needs in these uncertain times in America. Mr. J is level-headed, fair, stable, and ready to serve all the people, not just the ones who voted for him or will vote for him. This is what American politics need right now, not a divide-and-conquer approach, which has proven to be a dismal failure for Congresswoman Lisa McClain and Trumpism. Ryan Jay's campaign has caught the attention of the entire country. The groundswell and the endorsements have been coming in rapidly from far and wide, which unsettles the GOP establishment. This rotten, corrupt core. Michigan, especially District 9, is not for sale. Donations are needed, and to donate to Brian's campaign, go to www.brianjfrommichigan.com. He's on social media, at Twitter. On Twitter, it's at J4MI. And at blue is secure.atblue.com/donate. Committee to elect Brian J. Dashwan. So, he's going to join us shortly. The number to call in is 515-605-9802. And could you please, you know, limit to 3 minutes each caller because, you know, we're not sure how much calls may come in, but this is going to be an exciting show because a new candidate first-hand he's a lawyer. And, you know, we expect great things from him. So, Brian J. will join us shortly. This is David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Picka in Michigan. And I am from District 9. And I am very excited to have Brian on the show. Lisa McClain has been nothing but, as David said, a rubber stamp for Donald Trump. And she votes no on anything that's good for America, and we need her out. She is a multimillionaire, and she has no clue as to what it's like to be a middle-class person in this country, or in this state, I should say. So I'm excited to have Brian on. He does need our support. If everyone would please just also share the show on different social media sites. That way his name can get out there, especially in the Michigan groups. That would be great. He's ready to serve us. He's got all the right, he's got the ideas that will help move our district forward. And I hope he joins us in a few minutes. He'll be on.
Yes, and let's just go through the key votes in the 117th Congress. The bills and description that Lisa McClain had voted no on. American Rescue Plan Act of 2021, she voted no.
Yep.
For the People Act 2021, she voted no. American Dream and Promise Act of 2021, she voted no. Equality Act, no. Infrastructure Investments and Jobs Act, no. Safe Bank Act of 2021, no. Building Back Better Act, she voted no. Women's Health Protection Act of 2021, she voted no. impeaching Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, for high crimes and misdemeanor. She voted no. A concurrent resolution set for the congressional budget for the United States government for fiscal year 2022 and setting forth the appropriate budgetary levels for fiscal year 2023 through 2031, she voted no. And all these bills that she voted no for passed in the Democratic-led House, led by Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
The only thing she voted yes on is the National Defense Authority Act of fiscal year 2022. So one of her big donors is the military-industrial complex. So, of course, you can't really bite the hand that feeds you. And she voted yes in passing that act. So incumbent Lisa McClain, she won her primary against, you know, I think two Republicans running her primary, or Michelle Donovan running her primary, and Lisa McClain got 79% of the vote. And the disqualified candidate was Joel Needham, another Republican. You know, so the 9th district, even though it's in a red district that voted for Donald Trump in 2020, a lot of people are banned by Republicans on this rubber stamp, Lisa McClain. She's out of her depth, of her lead, and, you know, she is going to go down. And we hope that, you know, Brian Jay will give her a good one for her money. And, you know, and you know, Democrats win an overwhelming victory.
Yeah. Well, let's just say it the way it is. The GOP is evil. They do not care about everyday people. They don't care about the American people. They only care about their own interests and their own pocketbooks, their own special interests, and in the direction that we're going right now. It's not a good direction. It is a direction where our democracy is in trouble. And if you're paying attention, you'll be able to see, you should be able to see by now that our democracy is in great danger. So we need strong candidates that are willing to carry the torch for Democrats, and all the hard work that the Biden administration has put into to pass the Inflation Act that he passed, that, and for climate change, et cetera. I mean, these people that are, you know, going to come in need to carry that torch. So I hope that Brian does well, and we're going to do all that we can to help him.
Yes, yes. And again, folks, before Brian comes in, the number to call, 515-605-9802. We're pleased to welcome Brian Jay. He's the 2022 Democratic nominee for the 9th Congressional District of Michigan. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having
Brian.
Me.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Brian. How are you?
You know, I'm okay. It's a lot of, you know, just to talk about this, it's a lot of pressure to run for Congress. And, you know, although I'm a new candidate, I think before we get into the questions, you know, I did want to mention a little bit, you know, you said the GOP is evil, and a lot what I'm dealing with is the magma, the extreme magma side of the GOP. And, you know, I'm seeing it in the front lines because I'm seeing it as someone that's running against someone that I believe the top of the magma believes, you know, that they see a vision of the future in her. So the people attacking me aren't low. I mean, these are people directly standing next to Donald Trump, you know, retweeting comments. She's retweeting them. And just basically, you know, everything from trying to dilute the vote, trying to split the party from my own vote, from my own side. I think Donald Trump just tried to enter some other Democratic races throughout the country, you know, sort of mockingly endorsing candidates, like literally the individual that tried to impeach him. So, I mean, going into that, you know, I think Lisa McClain You know, I mean, even though I'll never have her money, she knows that I am supported by the governor, and the governor's campaign is huge throughout Michigan. And
yeah.
I think we are going to give her a run for her money. It's a huge district. Yeah. But I'm open. I want to go into your questions. So
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry if I talked a little
too
much.
No, it's okay, Brian. It's okay. I'm excited to have you on. I think you're going to be a wonderful candidate. And like I said, we're going to do all that we can to help you. And
I appreciate
we just want
that.
To learn. Yeah, no problem. I mean, we just want to learn a little bit about you. So we're going to ask you a few questions. You don't have to go into detail. And, you know, we can move right along. And if you have other comments to make in between, go ahead and make them. If something that you think is important, go ahead and tell us, because we're here to learn as well. Where you were born, your work experience, your education, and what was your upbringing like?
So I was the first in my immediate family. I was born in Detroit, but I was the first in my immediate
mm-hmm.
family to attend college or law school. I grew up as a toddler in the Warren area, and then
mm-hmm.
you know, after that, I went to school and everything else in Sterling Heights, Sterling Heights, Michigan. So I sort of come from an interesting background for a Democratic candidate in Congress. That I come from a working class area where a lot of people did work on the line, where a lot of my classmates' parents were in the UAW, were union workers. And this gave me an interesting perspective that once I started becoming of age to vote, I really got involved in Democratic politics. I really found an
mm-hmm.
interest in it. Through school, you know, I had full rides and full scholarships. I had two academic full rides to my undergrad. I was a student leader. I excelled.
Mm-hmm.
And I did very well. But what defined me and what helped me get along was my ability, I think, to just sort of learn and relate to a lot of different people. I've been an attorney now for 17 years in November. I've worked everywhere
mm-hmm.
from some of the biggest law firms in the country, based out of Washington, D.C., to
mm-hmm.
right now I'm just doing poverty law for the State Bar of Michigan, which is helping individuals right above the poverty level. But it
okay.
gives me an interesting perspective because, you know, I've worked with lawyers that worked in the White House. So, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm not worried really about Lisa McClain's background. I know she's worked at some big companies and she's done, you know, but she's not worried about people. She's worried about, you know,
mm-hmm.
the profits of large corporations. She's worried about, you know, her wealthy investor friends, where I'm actually in this because I want to see someone that's going to vote in Congress that's going to help people and make people's
yeah.
lives better. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, I hope that considers it. You know, I was also, you know, another aspect, there's a lot of politicized conversation about law enforcement. I was considered to be the McComb prosecutor
mm-hmm.
by Mr. Marlinga and all the judges. They picked
mm-hmm.
another prosecutor, obviously someone with much more experience. But, I do have a relationship, and it's always been good with Mr. Marlinga. And he said
yeah.
kind words about me, and he's the nominee in the 10th. So,
yes, he is.
You know, I think it's good if candidates, you know, stick together. Obviously, I look up to, he's been an experienced politician for many years.
Mm-hmm.
But he said very kind words, and he's, you know, there's no learning curve. Like, I'm in this, and I'm running against Lisa McClain. So, and
yes.
I'm ready to do that.
That's
yes.
awesome. Lovely.
Yeah. You know, Brian, it's divisive and toxic and acrimonious, the political culture and climate in America today. So why did you decide to run for Congress in such a moment in American history?
Well, you know, I think what really defined and what made me want to run for Congress is, you know, I became a father a couple years ago. I have a two-year-old son. And I live in an area, you know, I live right on the border of Shelby Township, Michigan. And it's become so divisively, it's changed. I don't want to say drastically. It's always been sort of red, but it's changed to this Donald Trump red. It's changed to this
yeah.
drastic imposition of
yeah.
of where he is this fighter for the working class, and he's going to
mm-hmm.
help, you know, and I see it surrounding me. And so after I had my son, you know, I just, I got tired. And although I've worked on so many campaigns, I thought the only way I can really stand up to this is to file. And I ran for the State Board of Education in a Democratic primary. I lost against a woman named Ellen Lipton, who's sort of a Democratic legend. She went to Harvard Law School. She was a state legislator, state senator, I think, for 8 years. So it wasn't that great of a defeat. She ran for Congress previously against Andy Levin. So she was a very big name for me to go and for my first time running for an office. So after that, I filed against Lisa McClain. And that was, I guess, the biggest reasoning is really, you know, when I saw my little boy and I see the world that he's sort of being forced to grow up in, I wanted to take a stand and I wanted to do something about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the excuses. That's great. It's exactly what we need in this country. More people like you, Brian. Okay, my next question. What are your plans to better congressional District 9, and how do you hope to achieve your goals? When you
I think on focusing on the people, you know, really by fighting for them in Congress, by supporting legislation that will uplift the constituents in the district, better jobs, keeping those jobs. You know, I just had a meeting today with the governor's team, and there was a lot of talk about a Ford auto plant in the Romeo area that I guess, you know, there's worry that's going to be closed. I want to fight with that. I think my background also working from everywhere from representing management to labor as an attorney gives me an interesting perspective of being able to try to work with these corporations as a Democrat and try to get jobs protected. You know, I think that interesting background will give me a vantage in Congress. And I want to be able to retain these jobs. I don't want to keep them because I understand what it's like, you know, to want to work and want to put food on your table for your child. And I want to make sure I can give that because I don't know if Lisa McClain's doing that. I don't know if she's fighting for them or if she's worried that she might lose money from, you know, a corporate donor.
I would say the latter.
Yeah.
Yes. According to our voting record, she is for corporations and not really the people. You know, so,
yeah, she's funded heavily by corporate PACs. And I don't, you know, anyone can I won't take corporate PAC donations. And that's, you know, it's sort of a stance, even though I've worked all over, I don't think politicians should be bought directly by corporations because I think we should be fighting for the people in Congress.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's what you're there for. Absolutely.
My next question is, what are your thoughts on gun control? Do you support the banning of AR-15s and assault rifles? Because we have a lot of school shootings at a mall, anywhere you go, basically, or a supermarket, you know, different events. You know, we have this crazy gun culture. What are your thoughts on that?
So, you know, there's been a lot of discussion, especially dealing with Lisa McClain in particular on the gun control issue. My district is very wide-ranging geographically, and it does contain the area of Oxford, which experienced a tragedy. I strongly support, you know, stronger federal background checks. Like right now at this time, there's no background checks for unlicensed sellers. So you can go to a gun show or go buy guns online. This loophole enables a lot of people to get guns when they should not be able to get guns. There's been legislation, and there's been a lot of legislation. She has voted against all of it. She has called it garbage. She has said that I will never infringe your Second Amendment rights. Every Democrat is coming to take all your guns. And this further, you know, evacuates the issue that she is just trying to spread more propaganda that is not necessary. You know, that's not what I'm coming in Congress to do. I'm coming in Congress to make a safer environment. The legislation recently passed by the Biden administration, H.R. 1808, which I support, you know, discusses banning specific assault weapons and different ways that they're exchanged. And this is incredibly important that we come to this moment in history where a lot of Republicans have supported it, but someone like Lisa McClain has said, you know, I mean, I understand the district I'm running in, and I understand there's a lot of people out there that take this issue very close to their heart, but we have to have some form of balances and checks and safety. Mm-hmm. I mean, she voted against the safe storage of weapons when my son sometimes when I mean, he finds remote. He's 2 years old.
Right.
I mean, I don't have a gun. I've never owned a gun. But if I did, and I, you know, I mean, without this safe storage law, I mean, there's multiple incidents where there's young children that shoot themselves with a gun. So, I mean, she has voted against everything. So I strongly support gun safety initiatives and legislation in Congress.
Absolutely.
Yes. And a follow-up question to that, Brian, is there have been a lot of talk about arming teachers in schools. What are your thoughts about, mm-hmm. you know, arming teachers in schools? Is that viable or is that nonsense? Or is it,
I don't find that as a viable option. I was endorsed by the National and the Michigan Education Association. In between getting my bar exam results, I taught for a year in the schools, and I just don't want that environment in my state, in my district. I don't want that for the children. I don't want them to come to school. You know, this isn't the Wild West. I don't want that to become a normal. I don't want that to become something that we see. And, you know, I think the initiatives that I'm going through are going to help protect children so much better.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why a lot of teachers are retiring and not going back. They do not want to be in that environment. They don't want to be.
Well, it's scary.
Put in a position where, you know, they have to carry a gun in a school. Are you kidding me? Absolutely not.
And Lisa McLean, she does not support public education. She supports, removing funds from public education. So I don't, when I see her in these meetings with public school administrators and public teachers, you know, I do call it out because people need to know she's not supporting public school teachers or public school. Every parent that has a student in public school should not vote for Lisa McLean. And I wish I could tell everybody that, but I mean, really to reiterate that I am the one fighting for their public education to give their children a better future.
Yeah, absolutely. I have another question for you. What do you see as some of your greatest challenges in District 9?
I think the biggest challenges that I'm going to face is it being so overpopulated and so brainwashed by a lot of misperceptions just propaganda. I mean, just today, I'm sort of tweeting out a message. I'm trying to get to maybe some voters that don't understand. I'm trying to put little simple, you know, very simplistic messages that I'm the legislation I support will not tax anyone that makes under $400,000 a year annually. And the GOP instantly retweeted something, you know, saying that the Democrat is only going to be, you know, protecting the elite. And that is their strategy, and that's what they've been trying to do, and they're trying to convince voters that they're protecting their rights and their beans. When Donald Trump and the Michigan Republican Party is very much controlled by Donald Trump at this point. I think all major candidates for statewide office, and Lisa McLean is pretty much probably on the congressional side outside of, like, Tim Walberg, a few others, one of the most closely aligned to Donald Trump. So his influence, you could see it. And it's really disturbing because it's just false information. All this, attacking the Biden administration on a regular basis on essentially propaganda that just is not true. Like, there's no truth in it whatsoever.
No, I know. That's the sad part, that these people believe it.
And
it's
hard.
Scary.
Because how do I, and as a congressional candidate, as somebody, and I got some advice from Ms. Marling and different people who ran for office multiple times and to focus on specific issues, of course. But, I see the GOP and I watch their thread sometimes, and I see they focus on money a lot, and they're focusing on, well, if you elect Brian Jay, you're not going to be able to afford your groceries. You're not going to be able to afford your gas. You're not going to be able to go out, and you're not – they're trying – it's just such propaganda because everything the Biden administration is doing is trying to alleviate costs for working families.
Exactly. Absolutely. They're doing the exact opposite, and these people don't even see it. It's right under their nose.
I was walking with my son. I live in Raja. I live in a condo condominium, and someone started screaming at me, one of my neighbors, about Biden, about, you know, inflation and gas prices. And so, I mean, I see it. Like, people know I'm running. I have signs in front of my house.
Okay.
But, you know, I see it, and it's devastating that people believe it to such a point. And a lot of people, I mean, it's just so devastating that people are believing this propaganda. And when Donald Trump is literally, I don't want to go into it too much, but I mean, he is not.
No.
President Biden, no president, you know, I mean, I've never met President Biden. I don't know him personally, but the initiatives and the policies he is supporting and bringing through is not anything the way the GOP is attacking. It's almost like one of those old Nazi war movies where they keep running something through someone's head over and over until they believe it. And that's what I'm seeing. Like, the GOP just keeps running these threads that the Biden administration is causing inflation. The Biden administration is doing this, and they're just preparing. They're essentially just trying to prepare for 2024 and trying to win the midterms. But I'm trying to deflect and defeat, you know, as much as I can.
Do you think, and I've talked about this many times, and this isn't one of the questions, but it kind of goes into what you were just talking about. Do you think that the Democratic Party needs to be more in lockstep with their message like the Republican Party is?
They're well, you know, we discussed this morning, so... Yeah. I met this morning with Governor Whitmer's team, and they essentially, literally the director of her campaign. And, you know, it's hard because every time I talk to a Democrat, like, Democrats want to explain their policies. Like, we want to go in depth, you know, and it seems like the Republicans are all online with this message. Like, every Democrat wants to take your money. Every Democrat wants to do this. Every Democrat, you know, and it's almost like they get a playbook. And so, I mean, the governor is trying to do the best she can in Michigan by aligning all candidates together under the one campaign. And, you know, she'll give me talking points and different things. I'm trying, you know, every time that I discuss, you know, even like I'm supposed to go on Flashpoint, Lisa McClain, they haven't told me if she accepted yet or not.
They
invited me.
About that.
So Lisa McClain is not, I don't know. I mean, at this point, you know, I've accepted, but I discussed it with the governor's team and what to talk about, and there are specific points that I want to bring up. But the messaging, of course, I'm not saying I'm not getting guidance, because the party has been good and the party has been helpful, but I don't know what the Republicans – I don't have their knowledge base of what they do. But they're very divided also. So you have Lisa McClain and Michon Madoc and the extreme level of the Michigan GOP where right after Donald Trump is raided, you know, Lisa McClain goes has dinner at his house. And, you know, I was talking about strategy.
Really?
So the day after she was raided by the FBI, or he was raided, they had dinner. So, I mean, that's how close she is to him. And she said they discussed strategy. Like, I don't know if I should be impressed that she had to meet, you know, I don't know.
That's
so she was saying how she was discussing strategies to, you know, destroy me in the general election. I mean, I could go on for a long time.
I know.
Time. So
that's sickening.
It's disturbing. And that's how close she is to him. And I wanted to beat him, and I really want to beat him in his own backyard, and I'm not going to have her money, but sometimes it's not always the money. Sometimes it's just getting out and meeting people and talking to them and at least getting, you know, radio shows like this and getting on TV and just letting people meet me. Because she's not I've never met her. I've never seen her in a parade. I mean, it would be my first time meeting her if she did agree to this, but...
Yeah, I've never seen her around ever. I live in the township.
So, you know, I grew up in Macomb. I know Macomb, you know, it's overly a working class community, and Donald Trump is just like, people are fooled, you know. And some, I see these guys with these Trump 2024 flags, and they're, you know, they talk to my mom, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, they're normal people, and I just don't understand why,
mm-hmm.
what, how this man did this, like how this man got these people to follow him to such a degree.
Mm-hmm.
It just astonishes me. So
it astonishes,
you know,
everybody.
Well, you know, my perspective on that is that he's such a good liar, Donald Trump is, that, you know, he fear-mongers, like, oh, you know, we will not be replaced, and, you know, who's he talking about?
Well, he's horrible. So, I mean, he does specific strategies.
Know?
So he, mm-hmm. you know, he's been entering these Democratic races. He's been trying to impede, you know, I mean, whatever candidates you support in other states
mm-hmm.
is, you know, either near or there, but it's just the point that he's entering them, and he's just trying to meddle, and he has no scruples. Like, he has no basis. He has no ideology
mm-hmm.
other than
mm-hmm.
division. I mean, he likes to scream mm-hmm. out, you know, the radical left is destroying America all the time. He doesn't define what radical
mm-hmm.
is.
He's
divisive, and he's not what our country needs. And Lisa McClain
is
essentially an arm of him.
Yes, she
exactly.
is.
Exactly. So on to economic things now. The Republicans keep talking about inflation and a recession coming. Do you believe this is all part of a plan to damage the Biden administration and plant a seed of fear in the people?
I totally do, and I see it. You know, their strategy, I mean, to some people it's working. So this idea that
mm-hmm.
they're consistently sending out this message that Biden and his administration are causing
mm-hmm.
the, you know, any level of inflation, it's propaganda. There's minute
mm-hmm.
Portions of inflation that, you know, I think like a point of a percentage from the American Rescue Plan. And, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, I've been going to a lot of White House
mm-hmm.
seminars, and everything that's going through this bill is to alleviate and to help the American people. And the propaganda is just horrible. So I don't understand the fight, and they're, you know, I understand their strategy because I see people scream at me. I mean, people recognize me, and people don't understand the dynamics of, you know, party politics. They just see me as a Democrat, regardless of
yeah.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, no matter what, when, you know, when you're running for Congress and you're a Democrat, I'm always going to get screamed at
mm-hmm.
because that's what the GOP is trying to do. And it's honestly dangerous. A lot
yeah.
of their policies and a lot of their strategies are just, I mean, I have to be careful, but I mean, it's just dangerous.
Because
it's lies. I mean, it's propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a shame that it's come down to that in this country. It is just
horrible.
A darn shame.
You should see
yeah.
some of the, you know, I didn't get the threats like Representative Solwell. He was putting some voicemails, I think, on Twitter, like people saying they were going to cut his throat. I mean, it's just horrible. And, you know, I got some tweeted messages and some, you know, that they were going to show me what magma can really do, and they have my home address. And, like, it shouldn't be that way, and that's
no.
where we're at,
mm-hmm.
and it's really,
I know.
It's horrible. So I'm hoping that, you know, I'm hoping I can defeat her, because someone needs to defeat her. She needs to be replaced, and the horrible part, the Lauren Boberts, Marjorie Taylor Greens, you know, and Lisa McClain, they're
yeah.
just in such red districts that it's really difficult for a Democrat to win. So the strategy that I've put together is just try to talk to people and show them what a Democrat is, because
mm-hmm.
the Democratic base alone in this district hasn't been enough. It's going to take talking to individuals that maybe, you know, don't always vote, maybe, you know, just
mm-hmm.
vote for a candidate. And so I'm really trying to just reach, you know, I want, of course, to make sure my Democratic base is there, but to get
mm-hmm.
across that Lisa McClain is not fighting for you, you know, is not doing anything.
Hey, Brian, what about Generation Z? What about them? What
so
do
the
you
younger
about
voters?
Yeah.
You know, I've tried my best, and I'm trying my best to reach out. I want to get some more
mm-hmm.
community colleges in the district. I'm not the best at TikTok. I have a TikTok account, so I've been trying to utilize it. But I don't know, you know, I have a young guy that signed up. I've just had so much going on.
That would be great.
Hard.
TikTok would be great. If you could do some TikTok.
But, you know, the younger generation.
Yes.
It's hard because the messaging, I don't think Lisa McClain's really capturing the younger generation.
No.
You know, and I'm trying to illustrate to the younger generation that I'm out there fighting for them. I care about the climate. I care about, you know, LGBTQ issues. I care about marginalized groups. She doesn't care about any of these things. And so a lot of the younger generation, obviously they care about their future. I think education is a huge point. You know, I'm trying to get across, you know, the campaign's designed to get across to as many voters as I can. And that's really my strategy. It's just to get to as many people as I can.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That sounds fair. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. My next question is, do you believe that the minimum wage should be at least $15 per hour or more around the country?
Yes, I support, I definitely support a $15 minimum wage, living wage. You know, Lisa mm-hmm. McClain argues against it, says it'll destroy small businesses and, cause them to shut down. And I disagree wholeheartedly. I think it'll spur employee retention rates. I think it'll increase disposable income. I think it will improve employee productivity. You'll have the best employees stick around. I don't see that as an issue. I definitely support it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, we're going to go to women's rights issues, though.
Okay.
The Supreme Court. Where's this question? The Supreme Court voted against Roe versus Wade to repeal it. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
So when I initially saw this, you know, I was heartbroken because fundamental rights as a Democrat, they're very important. And it's a slippery slope, and so many more fundamental rights could be removed that are right now protected. So I am a strong advocate for a woman's choice. I'm a strong advocate for all fundamental rights. But, you know, I've attended rallies. I've tried to go there, and I see the divisive nature. I see a lot of the pro-life group court to get to the other rally. We have, you know, I mean, I'm going to fight because I see every woman should be able to do what they want with their own body without government interference. And, you know, the other side's going to argue, well, you know, I was called a baby killer. I was called all these things. But that's not true at all. The issue is the government's regulation of a woman's body. And that's really what this boils down to. And I wholeheartedly believe the government does not have a place to regulate what a woman can do. And the 1931 law right now that Governor Whitmer is trying to block from allowing these prosecutors, especially Peter Lucido, who wants to prosecute healthcare providers that would provide an abortion. And this would this would literally make it a crime, and he could put people in jail. So we have horrible situation that the governor is trying to fight. And, you know, I'm there with her, and I want to fight for every woman to be able to make that own choice.
Yeah, you know, the thing is there are going to be stories that are already starting to come out, you know, women that are having toxic pregnancies because they've lost their child in an early stage of their pregnancy, and they can't have an abortion, which is really a DNC, because it's a crime. I mean, and then that mother can become toxic and die. So who are these people?
Yeah, and Tudor Dixon,
you know,
is another extreme candidate running against the governor. And Michigan's become a safe haven state now from Indiana and from, you know, other surrounding areas. So we really need to protect that. And we really, you know, I'm going to fight as much as I can in Congress to protect that and, you know, to get everything codified, it's going to take
Absolutely.
A lot of work. It's going to take a lot of votes. So,
I know.
You know, I'm there. I'm right there, you know, fighting because it's such a pertinent issue, and it can lead to so many other issues on top of that. But a woman
absolutely
cannot be regulated by the government. The government
no.
has no place to regulate a woman's body.
And you know, the funny thing is, it's ironic because the Republican Party always boasted about not being they don't want government in their lives. You know, big government
in their
lives. And they're the exact opposite.
In every
yes.
form except when it comes
yes.
to who can love who and who you
yes.
know, what we can do with our own bodies.
Right.
But you know, they don't like aid to help people that, you know, might be less fortunate. So they're quite hypocritical in a lot of their policies. But I mean, that I'm fighting for people. So when you know, after November, if I'm elected, I'm there fighting for everybody in my district. And that's really why I'm running for Congress. So I see a woman in office right now who votes against almost every bill, who, you know, writes resolutions and drafts legislation that's not only not that helpful. One piece of legislation she drafted was to stop the DOJ from investigating specific type of weapons without serial numbers. So I don't see a legislator working for the people. I don't see her trying to help the people. And, you know, I'm going to try my best to defeat her.
And I think you will,
we're speaking with Brian Jay. He's the 2022 Democratic nominee for the 9th Congressional District of Michigan. We have our first caller from New Mexico. Hello, Carla. What's on your mind?
Hi, my name is Linda. I'm from New Mexico. I read an article just last night about a 13-year-old girl who's pregnant and petitioned the court to have an abortion because she doesn't feel she's ready to be a parent. And they decided she wasn't mature enough to make a decision to have an abortion and declined it. So now she's forced to have a child. If you're not mature enough to have a 15-minute procedure, how can you raise a child? I don't understand the logic of that in any way. The horror stories that are coming out of this are beyond understanding.
I mean, my only answer to that is I'm going to fight for every woman to be able to have that choice. And I'm going to fight to make sure that happens regardless of age. Lisa McClain's made statements, Tudor Dixon's made specific statements regarding, you know, no exceptions even for a 14-year-old that was impregnated through incest. So, I mean, there's horrible stories. And and the Republican Party has no exceptions. And
and the whole story is, well, just give it up for adoption. Do they not know how traumatic it is to your body, to your psyche, to everything to go through an entire pregnancy? I mean, that's insane. I was raped in college and ended up pregnant and had an abortion. This was before Roe v. Wade, and I had to go to New York to do it, but I sure as hell went to New York. But I was in Massachusetts, so it was, you know, a couple-hour drive. It's not like I was in Oklahoma or someplace where I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere and had no resources. And we fought like hell to get Roe passed, and now it's just, like, gone. It's insane.
It's sad. Very sad.
Well, good luck to you, and I hope you succeed, because we need every single Democrat we can get in there. And
make
Trump understand that.
Long to anyone you know, anyone that can make a donation to my campaign, it's greatly appreciated. You know, we've raised more than the 2020 nominee, but it's a very red district. It's hard to raise a lot of money. You know, I'm not a big celebrity. So, I mean, every donation that can come through is very grateful, and we do have a lot of costs. I'm putting billboards up throughout the district and different aspects.
Tell us your website again and spell it, because I know J is not just the initial J. Make sure everybody knows the spelling and mm-hmm. so we can access it, because payday's coming up, and I will send you some money.
Well, thank you. It's www.brianjayefor Michigan, michigan.com.
Okay, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Brian J.
from
Michigan.
Thanks for doing it. Okay.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Well,
thank
you
for calling
your time.
Linda.
Bye.
Yeah, so that was Linda from New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next question I have. Okay, so when you're elected, you'd be the newcomer, the freshman. Tell us how you'd stand out and make Congressional District 9 in Michigan. How can you differentiate and stand out from all of the 3-4 seats in the House?
You know, if I got elected, I think the first thing that really would stand out is that I'd be a Democrat elected and, you know, in a plus 18 Trump district. And I think people are going to mm-hmm. see what a Democrat is, and they're going to see a fighter. And mm-hmm. I hope that it would, you know, if I could flip this district, that it would have ripples and ramifications. You know, I mean, that a Democrat is fighting for the people. And I think what would make me stand out is just if I could defeat some of this propaganda from Donald Trump. I mean, this is Donald Trump's backyard. Mm-hmm. Like, this district has been so, you know, brainwashed. So I think what would make me stand out, you know, if elected into, you know, with colleagues of such incredible backgrounds is just, you know, just being a fighter and showing a district that hasn't elected. The last Democrat that held a large portion of this district was Bonnier, Mr. David Bonnier. And,
yeah.
you know, that's when
mm-hmm.
Mount Clemens was part of it, and it stretched up.
Yeah.
And then it's been 20 years. So
yeah.
a Democrat mm-hmm. has to win this district. You know, I mean.
Agree. I agree. You know, when mm-hmm. there was the election, you know, with all the Trump signs around here, you know, driving down Romeo Plank and going north. It's just so I hated it. I hated driving. I can't stand looking at the signs, and it just makes me insane. You know, I just want this district to be what it should be.
Well, you know, someone said, we had that meeting this morning. I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
No, that's okay.
We had that meeting this morning, and someone said that people, that Donald Trump or his campaign was paying people to put some of his signs out. I don't know if that's true or not. I have my signs. I know we're waiting. I know there's a, like, I think they can go up in yards, so people have been getting them for their yard. And, you know, I'll get more emails and more, and I have some signs at the Oakland County headquarters. Macomb doesn't have a headquarters, so I don't have a physical office just to save some money. I've been running
mm-hmm.
everything out of my home, which is fine.
Okay.
And I'm gonna do
yeah.
I'm gonna do some Meet the Candidate events, especially in northern
okay.
Macomb.
Okay.
Hopefully, I haven't been able to get the woman that runs everything for northern Macomb is on vacation until
mm-hmm.
Monday, so that's why I haven't been able
okay.
to announce it.
Okay,
but
good.
That'll probably be in
I'll
Washington Township or Romeo,
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
then. You know, I'm trying to get out there and so people can come out. And, you know, I hope to have some events in October with some other candidates. Everyone's
mm-hmm.
really busy. And, you know,
of
a
course.
Lot of people – so I can't make any guarantees. I would love if the governor could come to one of my events. I would love,
yeah.
you know, if Mr. Marlinga mm-hmm. could join me. Whoever is free and available,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm open. Like, those are the closest districts, and the governor obviously is – you know, these are big counties, Oakland
yes,
and Macomb for statewide
yes,
races.
Are.
So, you know, I support all three of Michigan's leaders, and I would be honored if any of them ever wanted, you know, to come and help one of my events.
When you do have your signs, Brian, I would like to get a few from you, and I want to put them in strategic places where Lisa McClain signs are. It drives me nuts that only her sign is there. I can't stand it. So I will, you
yeah,
know,
I
when
have
you
a bunch,
have them.
So, I mean, if you
yeah,
want some, we could set
them?
It up and discuss that.
Yeah,
yeah. I have, you know, I have I have a few hundred right now, and we're going to order some more.
Oh,
just yard
okay.
signs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open. I will put them up for you. Don't you worry. In my area, all along.
Yeah, just
like
because
Hall
this
Road,
is such a red district, it's been harder to raise a lot of money. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, just
I know.
Just running the campaign out of my home is, you know, I mean, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Marlinga has an office in Mount Clemens, but
yes, he does.
I really think that it can be run out of my home. That's not a big deal. I have young staffers. I have a lot of people that want to help out. I want to get some events coordinated through the One Campaign just to make sure that, you know, everything's running smoothly and we get to do I want to get out there and do some canvassing events with a group of people. I want to meet some voters. I want to talk to them. I've received a lot of threats, and this has been a very disheartening part of me running. And you know, I've been very weary to do some aspects of the campaigning. But, you know, I think if I had a large group, I'd be fine. But, I mean, some people made jokes about murdering my son. Like, I mean, it's just horrific, and they thought it was just funny. So
that's just disgusting.
I mean, he's 2 years old. So, I mean, really, they thought it was funny, and then they thought I couldn't take a joke. So, I took all the pictures of my son down, even the back of his head. It's going to get really bad if I start appearing in the media with her. I think some of the hardcore MAGMA followers are going to get, especially also considering I went through the whole process to be in the FBI, and right now Donald Trump, I mean, some of his followers, I have no connection. I'm not employed. I have no connection to the Bureau, but I did go through the process and I almost was an agent. So that's enough for some of these guys. Like, they don't care. So, you know, it's just such a heightened, and he's not making it any better. I mean, every message that he sends out to his millions and millions of followers, every message Donald Trump Jr. sends out is just dangerous. And it's, and it's confusing because his messages are, you know, these guys are like, we need to defund. And it's so ironic, but then they're like, to leave. Like, they make no sense. So their messages are so twisted and advocating violence.
They're just brainwashed.
And that's what's scary, that some of these guys are so brainwashed that, you know, it's to the point where as this gets closer to November and as if we do a public debate, if she does want to do it, and they put us, I'm not going to be really, I mean, I'm going to come just as hard as anyone else.
Oh, you'll do great, Brian. You'll do great, Brian. No doubt.
You know, I'm a strong Democrat. Like, there's a lot of aspects. Obviously, politically, I don't agree with Liz Cheney at all. But, I mean, I mean, just the MAGMA hearings, and I'm not going to let that down. I'm not going to let the insurrection down. So, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how they'll attack me. I don't know if there's that much to attack me on. I'm a pretty clean guy. I mean, I was considered to be a prosecutor. So, I don't know.
We have another call coming in.
Okay, I'm
okay.
You know, yes, ma'am. So when you call in, folks, make sure you say first name and where you're calling from. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're speaking with Brian J., Democrat, the Democratic nominee for the 9th Congressional District in Michigan. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Hi, my name is Tom. I'm from St. Clair County. And I wish you, first off, I'd like to say hello to Lori, David, and Brian.
Hi.
And
hi, Tom.
Hi. We chatted earlier today. I want to say good luck in St. Clair County to Brian. It's so red here, it's just unreal. I can't believe
it. I know, and you know, I'm talking and I'm trying my best out. I'm going to have billboards go up at St. Clair. I'm going to focus on a lot of issues. I know it's really red out there. I'm trying my best to get
terrible.
Out there as much as I can, and I think it's a very important county in my district. And I think a lot of people, I mean, a lot of people are brainwashed by Donald Trump. So, I want to get out there as much as I can and try to reach people. I'm doing all I can.
I understand that. I just wish you all the luck in the world because I can't believe how red it is. I mean, I've never lived in an area that's this red. You know, I'm like,
yeah,
the
that's
only
a
blue
very
one
red
know
district.
Of.
So, I mean, you know, I'm hoping that some people, you know, I mean, look beyond party lines. Some people won't. There'll be some people that will vote straight Republican, and that's the end of it. You know, there's been a lot of talk that there'll be a lot of women that might deviate from their husbands because they want, even some more conservative women, because they feel that a woman's choice is that important.
Yes.
You know, there's been studies. Obviously, you know, Governor Whitmer has millions and millions of dollars to do studies. So they have studies in place where, you know, there are people that might deviate from their party and, you know, persuade from swing voters. And the best I could do show that I'm fighting for everyone. I mean, I'm running for Congress for everybody to fight. And, if someone's brainwashed and they want to talk to me, I'll talk to you. But, I mean, it's very hard because a lot of people don't understand the message points that they're reiterating are just not true. They're just false.
I know. I think probably to get the women's vote, and I hate to say this, but I think you need to push the abortion issue. I truly do.
I do too.
Because, indeed, that sounds, I don't know, sexist, I guess.
I try to discuss as much as I can. I'll say on my billboards, you know, I'm strongly pro-choice, where she's adamantly pro. She's anti, you know.
Anti-choice.
She's for full legality. So, I'm everything that all my advertising, everything that's going to come out is going to reiterate how much I strongly support a woman's right to choose.
Mm-hmm. Good, because I think that's the one that's going to get you somewhere, you know.
Yeah, there is a big ballot initiative. I mean, I was endorsed by Vote Pro Choice, which is a big national, you know, organization.
I saw that.
And so, you know, I've been applying to different endorsements in different places, but that's not what's going to, you know, I mean, I've met
a lot
of... I
know that's not your main thing, but I think that's going to get you the most women's votes. And a lot of
it is a huge issue with me. I think being pro-choice and a woman's right to choose, I think fundamental rights are a major issue and a major point in my campaign. You know, I deviate sometimes. I just think she's so connected. But some people are so brainwashed by Donald Trump, it won't matter what I mean,
right.
The man, they think that, you know, they think everything's been planted, everything's been wrong. So, you know, I try to talk about issues as much as I can. I try to discuss pertinent facts. But I'm hoping that there's some voters that might swing my way and vote for a Democrat beyond my Democratic base, who I love, and I don't want to lose any Democratic base because I need every single person, every Democrat to come out and vote to defeat Lisa McClain. But I'm hoping some voters that maybe just vote for a candidate, maybe don't always vote, maybe, you know, just decide on issue basis, come out and support me.
I know.
I just think that Lisa McClain is dangerous.
I know the precinct that I'm in, she is very much so. The precinct I'm in for the primary had 43% turnout, and that's just amazing, you know, for in this area. For that big of a turnout. So I think the November elections, the turnout's going to be huge. And
well,
there's
no Democratic contest either. So, you know, I'm hoping a lot more Dems come out in November because, you know, the governor's going to be up against Tudor Dixon and everyone else, you know, A.G. Nestle's going to be up against, you know, Matt DiPerno and whatever,
right.
You know, their campaigns have millions and millions of dollars to hit on issues and to get a lot of different voters. But I'm hoping to help the top three at the ticket and to help everyone else because my district is so red. And if I can bring some people to say, you know what, a Democrat's okay. Like, a Democrat's not what Donald Trump is saying he is. And
right.
That's really what the challenge is, I think, in this district because it is very red. And so people have to, get rid of some of the propaganda they've been fed.
Well, you know, part of the problem here in St. Clair County is very few Democrats run for any of the offices.
Well, a lot of people are afraid.
On my primary ballot, there were a lot of blanks on the Democratic side of it. And it threw me for a loop, you know. How do you vote for somebody that there's nothing there, you know?
Yes.
So this area is so red. I mean, I think that in this area, this county, the Democrats, why bother? We're not going to win. There's no possible way to win. You know,
well, see, that's not the mindset.
The attitude.
So when you do that and when you think, well, there's no way I can. So I'm a candidate that's running, and I'm a strong Democrat. I've been a Democrat my whole life, lifelong Democrat.
Me
but
too.
I'm running in a district that is really red, and I decided to do this, and I knew it was really red when I filed. Because I think, and I'm hoping that my message can come through, that a Democrat is not what a lot of people, because we did studies on straight ticket voting, and then people will, you know, vote for a candidate. So I grew up, I mean, on my mom's side of the family, with a lot of Dems, and then on my dad's side of the family, there are a lot of Republicans. So, I mean, I'm hoping that I can reach a bunch of voters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hey, Tom, thanks for calling.
Thank
you.
One last thing, Tom.
I'm sorry. Tom got cut off by accident. Yes.
I got cut off by accident.
I'm sorry, Tom.
I'll talk. Yes. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll talk
so.
It's not a big deal. I just wanted to get some signs. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
I want to vote for Jay, but I can't. I'm too far away. I'm in Frankfurt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think two things real quick. I think the women and abortion rights will get them on it because it's going to be on the ballot, and you don't mess with women. There's over 700,000 plus women signed the petition to have abortion rights, and I think that's what's going to drive the Democrats, the young people, any woman that wants her rights to the polls this fall. And the other thing is, you got to call those Republicans what they are, fascists. And they're only in it for the money and the power.
Well, I don't hold back. I mean, I definitely, you know, I don't hold back.
That's
anything
what they are.
The GOP. I'm a strong advocate for marginalized groups, for LGBTQ groups. I always advocate for every individual. I always make comments. Lisa McClain voted against the Respect for Marriage Act. Lisa McClain, you know, I was told by some people in some counties don't mention, you know, specific issues, but that's not why I'm running for Congress. I'm running for Congress so that we don't have as much hate running through the halls. There was just a library that was defunded because they wanted to ban certain books. So some voters, I mean, the far right, probably, you know, I mean, they're going to see my issues and see my points, but there's some issue voters and there's some people that might swing over. But I mean, I will always fight for everything that a Democrat stands for in the United States Congress.
I don't know about down there, but like up here, affordable housing is a big deal. Up here, a lot of people retire and, you know, with money, and working people that support the tourism industry have no place to live. They can't find housing that they can afford to live in, and that's a big issue in my up here. But I'm sure it is the same down there, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yeah, we've gone through that, and definitely I'm going to fight for initiatives to make sure that everyone has fair, affordable housing in every aspect of their life. You know, the GOP party has become so divisive and so full of, you know, a lot of their elected officials so full of hate that it's very disheartening. as someone that's so welcoming and so open to want to help so many different individuals that you know, I just want to reiterate that I'm running for Congress for everyone and to, you know, give everyone a better life and to make sure that the government mm-hmm. stays out of private affairs, especially a woman's body. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Exactly.
I wish you all the luck. I really
Thank
do.
You so much.
And I work with the Dems up here as best as I can, you know. So it's really great to hear what you're doing and keep up the good work and don't give up.
I'm not. You know, it's very hard because it's such a red district. And it's very difficult because so many people have been so brainwashed. And I'm trying not to be, you know, as divisive as Lisa McClain. I mean, Lisa McClain every day tries to get people to hate me for just being a Democrat. So I'm trying my best to stay what a Democrat stands for, to reiterate that I'm fighting for everyone. And, you know, and just hope that a Democrat could take the seat because it hasn't happened in 20 years.
I wish you luck. I just can't believe that people would threaten your kids and your wife. What has this country come to? It's ridiculous.
Very
horrible. It's
horrible. It's disheartening. They said it was joking.
No, that's not a joke. That's awful.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And it's very horrible. And
I give you a lot of credit for even trying. I hope you win. I'll pray for you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks,
thank you, Susie. That was Susie in Michigan. Okay. What are your views on Citizens United and campaign finance reform? A couple of years back, the Supreme Court gave Citizens United, you know, unfettered freedom to raise money for right-wing candidates and libertarians and Republicans. You know, so do you think more should be done for campaign finance reform?
Yeah, so I definitely think that, you know, I mean, dark money needs to be taken out of politics. I don't think corporations are people. We need to keep the people that are donating to campaigns as people, and we need to, in Citizens United, we need to keep campaign finance reform to the point where we're having actual individuals making decisions and donating to these campaigns. Some of these campaigns are getting, you know, over $500,000 in dark money coming into them where you can't trace the source. And it's just, it's just disrupting democracy.
Mm-hmm. Because it could be from a foreign government. Who knows, you know? It could be from China.
Yeah, nobody,
from Russia.
You can't trace it. So, you know, we need to reform and get that kind of money out of being able to impact elections.
Yes, indeed, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so my question is going to be, should felons who serve their time be allowed to vote again?
You know, I think everyone deserves, you know, someone who's served their time and someone who's, you know, served their sentence for whatever crime they've committed. I think everyone should get a voice, and that voice is there's nothing more than important than your voice to vote. So, you know, that even goes to voting suppression laws that I will fight, that the GOP tries to put in multiple bills. But I think there's nothing more important in a person's voice than their ability to vote. So I think everybody should be able, you know, every citizen should be able to vote.
Okay, that's great. I like that.
Michigan.
You know, my background is interesting. So as I was saying, on my mom's side of the family, you know, my great uncle was in politics and different on Democratic politics. And then on my dad's side of the family, I was raised by a lot of Republicans. And, you know, it doesn't define me because I'm my own person. But it gives me an outlook to understand, you know, I mean, I don't like the way that Lisa McClain is. I don't like, you know, not every Republican I've met is as extreme as Lisa McClain and Tudor Dixon. And I don't want to, you know, running in a district as red as I am, I want to demonstrate what a Democrat is and what we stand for, as opposed to, I mean, I don't stand for hate. I'm going to fight for marginalized groups. I'm going to fight for everything that I believe makes America a great country. But it's going to be a difficult battle because the district is so brainwashed and so red.
Yeah. It's beyond my comprehension.
So it's safe to say that in this political toxic environment, that you're willing to reach across the aisle and vote or work with any Republican to get bills through and move America forward. That's a good thing, because we're having a lot of gridlock here now in Congress, in both chambers of Congress. You know, so we need a man like you to go in there and work with Republicans, work with Democrats to make sure District 9 move forward and America move forward. We need a lot more people like you.
I'll work with anyone. I'll work with anyone that wants to move America forward and wants to make strides. You know, a lot of the bills like the Inflation Reduction Act, not one Republican voted for it. So it is disheartening that we're in this type of situation. I, of course, you know, there were some Republicans that voted for the Respect for Marriage Act. So, I mean, I think there is getting some, you know, ideas that the Republican Party, it seems very focused on money and power, and that's not what I'm focused on. I'm focused on people, and I want people to see that I'm running for Congress to make life better for people. Where Lisa McClain is focused on, well, if you elect Brian Jay, she's avoiding a lot of issues. You know, she's saying, you know, you're going to pay more at the store, more at the pump, and that's not true, and it's just propaganda. So I'm doing my best to run a campaign in such a red district to just get across what a Democrat stands for, what we want to accomplish in Congress, and it's not what Donald Trump is telling these people on a daily basis. And with the GOP is basically – Michigan GOP, especially with Michon Madoc running it, is so closely aligned with Donald Trump's, you know, thought process.
Yeah, and the thing is, if your opponent, Lisa McClain, had any integrity and anything about her, she'd talk about policies that she wish to, say, Congressional District 9 benefit from, was, you know, she's just maligning you. You know, and, you know, it just adds to the toxicity. You know, she has no plan. You know, she's not bright enough, so to speak, you know.
No.
You know, I've been a lawyer a long time, over 17 years, and I know I'm qualified and ready for Congress. It's just the point of getting across to these voters that are eating up sort of what she says sometimes. That it's not the correct environment of an elected official, some statements and some, they're not even really policy statements. It's more just sort of the attitude and the admiration of, you know, just everything is a Democrat's fault. Everything is Biden administration's fault. It's just pushing and pushing, you know, to try to defeat any Democrat that runs in a district, because people are going to be brainwashed. So I want to get across to as many people as I can that Lisa McClain is extreme. Lisa McClain is not fighting for anybody in that district. Lisa McClain is fighting for, you know, wealthy investors. She's fighting for her corporate special interests.
Yes, she is.
And, you know, a lot of her statements, they're not on point. You know, the GOP comes back and says, well, a Democrat's only fighting for the elite. That makes no sense, because all these bills that are passed, the taxation doesn't touch anyone making under $400,000 a year. And it's only 1.8% of the population, the taxpayers in America. So we really – I'm trying to harp on that point, because people don't – I'm trying to defeat propaganda – because people, I mean, money's a real issue. I get it. I have a son. You know, beyond balancing fundamental rights and fighting for a woman's choice, I mean, money is mm-hmm. going to be an issue to some people. So I want to get across everything I can and give it, you know, I'm trying to unseat her. I'm trying to take her job. So I'm going to do the best I can going into November.
Yes, oh, you will. Yes. You will.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they tried to, you know, the GOP, you know, in closing, I know you guys, they've tried everything mm-hmm. to try to, you know, hurt my base, hurt donations. They've tried to, you know, especially these MAGMA guys, they've tried a lot with their, you know, just literally guys that have been speaking at their MAGMA events. So mm-hmm. it's been a tough battle, but, you know, I'm not going away, and I'm going to keep fighting because I want and I believe in giving people a better life. I'm sorry, my son.
That's okay.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
Little darling. What's his name, Brian?
I don't want to say on the air.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Just because so many threats.
Yeah, you're right.
I
that's okay.
I tell people, like, privately, but I don't say, like,
okay.
publicly what it's.
When I come and pick up the signs, I want to meet. If your son is there, I'll meet him.
Yes, mm-hmm. and I will tell you his name. It's not.
Okay.
I just don't want to say. You know, I've been targeted by so many
mm-hmm.
hardcore.
Oh, I know.
Right.
People mm-hmm. that love Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So I have to be so careful.
I know.
Yes.
I
my last
and,
question
and,
for the night.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Lori.
No, no. I said I agree with Brian 100%. Family
yes.
comes first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my last question for the night, Brian, is President Joe Biden, he has talked about forgiving student debt. What are your thoughts on, you know, forgiving student debts? Is it
I would like to see President Biden go ahead and forgive as much student debt as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in a situation where a lot of students are overwhelmed. They're coming out of school.
Mm-hmm.
They're not being able to find jobs right away. And we're put in
yeah.
a situation where they're just having to pay all this debt back. And, you
yeah.
know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a powerful enough voice to, you know, like, to, you know, persuade. I mean, if I get elected, I'm going to fight for the people. I'm not ever going to, you know, I'm not a person that's going to contradict the White House. But if I think that they need, you know, I'm going to speak up. If I think that
mm-hmm.
student debt needs to be relieved,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to
mm-hmm.
speak up and I'm going to say my opinion about it.
Yes.
I think President Biden has talked a little bit about student debt. I think they're thinking about it. I really do. It might be next on the agenda. That's my hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my hope.
I have respect for the Biden administration. I try to attend
oh, yeah.
all the seminars. So it's not, you know, there's some divisiveness in the party, but that's not who I am. I'm very,
mm-hmm.
I believe that a Democrat running for Congress should be loyal to his president.
Yeah.
So I definitely support and, try to push, you know, Biden's administration. And when you see me, if I do go on Flashpoint, I will discuss, the achievements of the Biden administration, because I think it's important that people know that he is, you know, the Biden administration is doing great things in the White House. And,
yes, they are.
And the GOP is just sort of distorting it and brainwashing.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah, people still do not understand that the president cannot regulate gas prices. I mean,
no,
what
no.
is so
I
hard
mean,
to understand?
There's a lot of propaganda, and it's just they just believe it because the GOP keeps saying it every day and day
mm-hmm.
and day.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely
mm-hmm.
right, Brian.
I know what happened,
still...
Brian.
Go ahead.
And you know to Brian that, you know, when Republicans vote no against all these things, you know, when it's passed finally, they try to go back to their districts and take credit, having voted
mm-hmm.
no
yeah,
for whatever
Lisa
Democrats
McClain's done
and
that. I mean, in limited circumstances where she's discussed bills that, you know, that she's voted against, that funded,
mm-hmm.
you know, infrastructure and funded different things, and she tried to take credit for it. But she voted against all these bills. She's literally voted against, I would say, almost every bill that's come across her desk. So I don't see how she can how she can even make this at the same.
Yeah, and it's very easy
she's,
to look up.
She's voted with President Biden, I think, 8% of the time. So, I mean, some Republicans, she's one of the lowest, you know, in America and in that percentage. So, but as some of these callers said, this district is so red, it's really just going to take, you know, it's very difficult. And it's disheartening because a lot of, you know, especially at different offices, I mean, Congress, I stretch across a bunch of counties. So, you know, somebody always wants to run for Congress, but for different offices, it's hard because people are, you know, they think, well, this district has been red so long. But as a Democrat, we should never have that viewpoint. We should, you know, I hope there's always someone that wants to step up and, you know, try to push the needle and try to get elected as much as you can. There was a young lady that just flipped a plus 16 Trump district for, I think, state rep or state senate. Recently. So, I mean, it can be done, but I mean, it has to be done in such a manner that you show a wide voting base what a Democrat stands for, and it's not what the GOP is saying.
Yeah, one last question. When you do get elected, what is the first thing that you would like to do when you hit the ground running? Just one thing that stands out in your mind?
One thing, I care about education a lot, and there's not much you could do the day you get elected, but I would like to meet with every school board. Republicans are trying to overwhelm school boards right now with candidates that are pushing very radical right-wing ideas, and the school boards have a lot of control over these school districts, and then they're taking control of local schools. So I think the first thing I would like to do is to meet with school boards and get as many Democratic candidates as I can running, just to try to secure the school boards and, you know, in every county in my district, because a lot of these ideas that are going into our children lead to the future. And there's a lot of these groups that you don't understand. I mean, the Republican Party is really pushing towards school boards.
Yes, they are.
So, you know, it's pertinent that if I was, you know, elected, that'd be one of the first things I did.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Jay, you are an awesome candidate. I can't wait to meet you and pick up my son. And you are welcome back on the show again. Right, David?
Yes, definitely. Whenever you want to come on, just let us know, and you'll book the show, because I think you're an excellent candidate. You're a newcomer.
Yeah.
You have fresh ideas. You have fresh approaches. You want to work with anybody who wants to move Congressional District 9 and America forward.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm trying my best. It is a very hard place, and, you know, districts and counties like St. Clair, where they've been red so long. It's disheartening. I've put focus on some of these counties because I want to at least get across what a Democrat really stands for. And this could, you know, it's going to be helpful, especially to the governor the governor's team thinks the race is going to be, you know, closer than some people think. So every vote that I can bring up or every vote she can bring down really, you know, helps everyone throughout the whole state of Michigan.
Absolutely. Yes. And I hope people donate to your campaign. I hope people donate to your campaign.
Thank you so much.
www.brianjfrommichigan.com.
Yes.
I appreciate the time, and I'm grateful that you have me on.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're grateful to have you on.
Yes, definitely. One more thing. In 1 minute, a 1 minute summary of why people should vote for you. Just make one appeal out there for the listeners in Congressional District 9 on why they should vote for you.
You should vote for me because I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for every constituent. I'm going to fight for everyone with policies where your taxation is not going to be touched if you make under $400,000 a year. I'm going to fight so your children have better schools, better opportunities in your public schools. I'm going to fight for your children's safety in your public schools, and I'm going to fight for fundamental rights and a woman's choice.
Yes, thank you
absolutely.
So much.
Thank you, Brian.
It was great talking to you, Brian. Thank you so much for being on.
Yep.
Well,
like
thank
I said,
you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. Have a good night. Mm-hmm. Talk to you soon.
You too. Have a great night.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So our guest tonight was Democrat Brian Jay. He's a nominee for Congressional District 9 in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lawyer in my profession. And he's going to go in there. The election is going to be closer than people think because he's an intelligent guy. He knows the issues.
Yes, he
speaks about the issues. He over a broad, wide range of things that affect Congressional District 9 in Michigan. You can donate to him at secure.actblue.com/donate/committee-to-elect-brian-J-1 J-A-E J-A-Y-E, yes. And you can contribute to his website www.brianj that's J-A-Y-E brianjformichigan.com. Yes, yes. He's going to be the next congressman.
Yes, I'm excited. He was an excellent guest. He's very knowledgeable.
Yes.
And I was really happy to have him on.
Yes. And one last thing from me. You have to be a keyboard warrior to, you know, threaten a two-year-old. I mean, how dare you?
Yes.
Get a grip, people. A child is 2 years old.
I know.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
The evilness
right when people
and the hatred.
Yes,
they are
Stop
disgusting.
Me.
They're not
yes.
even human.
Y'all know better. Yeah,
they think
y'all
it's
know
funny.
Better.
Give me a break.
Exactly.
Oh. When I hear
so
stuff
that's
like
our show
that.
For tonight.
So
that's our show for tonight. I want to thank Brian Jay, Democrat from Congressional District 9. For coming on and talking on a wide range of subjects and issues. And until we meet again next Monday where we'll have an open mic talk, we'll see you then, same time, same place. Until next time, this is David Franklin in New Mexico.
Yes, and this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good night, and we'll talk to you Monday night. Bye now. Thank you.
He doesn't have heart.